Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Now, when you sent me this topic, Tracy, all I can think about was Hurricane Tracy. Do you remember what year Hurricane Tracy hit the east coast of the U.S.?
Are you talking about me specifically?
No, actually, as a matter of fact, I am. It was 40-some-odd years ago. The quote you sent me, you are responsible for the energy you bring into the room. Now, not rain and destruction when I talk about Hurricane Tracy, but the energy that a hurricane carries is quite similar to yours. I don't think it's as powerful as yours.
Oh my God.
But now you say you either suck the life out of it or brighten the space that you walk into. So you walk into a room, and so people are responsible. They can actually suck the life out of a room or brighten the space. I would never, ever, as long as I've known you, I've never experienced you coming into a room and sucking the life out of it. You can have a room, shut all of the lights off, and the energy Tracy brings when she steps into that room, it will actually illuminate the room.
Oh my God.
Along with Hurricane Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. This is the Journey to There radio show, the radio show online at journeytothere.com, available on iTunes. And if you did not see the press release recently, we are hitting 89 countries thanks to Empower Radio, Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Tracy, brighten this room.
Oh my gosh, Hurricane Tracy, circa 1968.
Oh, you're giving a lot away here.
Oh, well, that's fine. You know, if you listen to me, you know me. I pretty much
established
that. You know, it's so funny, though, that you opened the show with that particular question, because one of the reasons why I wanted to do the show today is based on this past week, I've had all of these different energetic exchanges with people, if you will, from all these different areas, both business and personal, which have affected my particular energy, which have affected the energy of the room. But
now, mind you, when Tracy interacts with people, it's not just an interaction. She is hypersensitive to the way people interact with her. So it's never ending that she can come up with a story, because she said this past week. It's every day.
Well, but yes, and you know what? That's intuitiveness, which I prefer to call it, but yes, that ability to be sensitive to the other people's energy is really not like a woo-woo thing. It's really more like I utilize that so effectively in what I do in my consulting practice, because, and this is what Journey to There was founded on, is because so many people, when they hit a wall or they're trying to get over a barrier or they are stuck in this, you know, gyre of keep coming back to the same place, uh-huh, they often think it's one thing. But as we work through and have conversations and dig a little deeper, there's almost like an aha moment that happens where they realize that, oh, okay, so it's this personal barrier that's keeping me from moving forward in my business, or this business situation that I keep getting stuck in is as a result of these choices that I keep making that lead me here. So but I do pay a lot of attention that way.
Sometimes they need you to realize that there's an aha moment about to happen. Or how many aha moments are probably going to happen to you, the listener, today by listening to this show? Check this out. Go ahead.
Right. Well, I hope that is the case, because I, you know, seriously had like three or four different so diverse situations happen. I was like, this has to be a show. But what really, the one that really broke the straw that broke the camel back in my decision, if you will, is very similar to how you opened the show, which was I was having dinner with a group of girlfriends for one of my dearest friend's birthday recently. Uh-huh. And you know, there were six people that were going to be there. Five were already there. And then the sixth one arrived, and she arrived like 30 minutes late. She like,
oh, was it my wife?
And it was not your wife, because she would not have acted this way. And I want to preface this by saying this person didn't act badly. It's just that I was hypersensitive to it, because I saw myself in the mirror of the way I used to be. And that is that she like, you know, came like a whirlwind into the restaurant, plopped down in the chair, 30 minutes late, exhausted, frazzled, frenetic, and the first thing that came out of her mouth was, oh my God, I'm so sorry I was late, but I was so busy today, and I...
Now, wait, hold on. Now, you said that, you noticed all this because you're hypersensitive to it, but how do you know what the... there were four other girls there, right?
Right.
And plus you and the one that arrived late. Now, yes. Maybe the other ones were rolling in there, oh, here she goes again, excuses for being late...
Well, see, here's the thing, and that's why I think it all circles back to this whole you're responsible for the energy you bring in your space. Because in that moment, in my perception, it was momentary, let me say. It didn't alter the course of the entire experience of the dinner, but it was a little bit like everyone was kind of like put off physically, like they did not like her, but it was like her energy was so strong and so frenetic in such a calm and evening type restaurant atmosphere that it was a little out of place, if that makes any sense.
Right. I mean, it a situation where maybe some people at the next table, they noticed her enter the space?
It might have been a little hard to not notice. But I don't really want to focus on her so much as I want to focus on the fact that this happens so often, and mostly it is because of you're getting like into the swirl of busy, 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 busy. And I know this, and I've talked about it on previous episodes before, where we've gotten to this place in our culture where busy is a badge of honor. So if you're sort of caught up in that swirl that I have been and can still default back to, but hopefully not as frequently, is that you don't even really notice that you're the tornado that's barreling through the door because you can't see past your face. Sorry, I think
I can't wait.
I was so excited about my tornado experience. I just hit the mic.
I cannot wait to hear my wife's comments on this episode because you are explaining her.
Well, I know her, and I would never put her in this category, but
I'm putting her in the category.
One of my other reasons for picking this topic was about engaging in debates. And so,
here we go.
And in that case, before we get into all these examples and stories, because I have many that we could go on with all day, I want to back up and really say that this whole idea of you're responsible for the energy that you bring into a space, it was not my coined phrase. I live by this phrase, but at the same time, it is not my phrase copyrighted, so to speak. But if you're listening, I want you to really kind of hear the backstory, which is helpful for why I notice these type of things so much.
Okay.
And how this phrase became so popular, catchphrase, if you will, started out by a brain scientist. Her name is Dr. Jill Bolt Taylor. Mm-hmm. And to try to like put this in a really succinct way, she's a brain scientist. She studies the brain. That was and is, continues to be her profession. But the irony of all that is that at a really young age, she had a stroke back in 1996 that was so devastating to her brain.
I'm looking her up now. She was 37 when that happened.
Exactly. And as a result of it, she literally, that stroke debilitated her to the degree inside her brain that she lost memory of language. She couldn't, she couldn't remember the past, but she couldn't think about the future, which in some ways could be a blessing. And she basically gained this entire new perspective because what would be happening is that when people would be coming to see her and that they would be talking like in ways that were like maybe like being really super compassionate in the way they meant to be, but at the same time, they were bringing all this energy into the room where she literally physically was, and it would affect her to the degree that she literally had to start setting up protective boundaries around herself that said, like, anyone who comes in that's, like, negative and toxic and just I can't be around them right now because her brain was, I think it was, these are my words, but I think it was functioning on such an intense level of vulnerability and openness as she was trying to heal that everything felt more intense than it usually was.
See, now, here's the thing, because I'm a very positive person and I like to be surrounded by positive energy. And there's certain situations that you just can't escape because you might have very close friends, family members, that's their MO. They bring negative energy into the room. And it's like, how do you deal with that?
Well, so, yeah, I know this. I'm not even going to go down that road, but what I am going to say is that as a result of her stroke happening and it shutting down the analytical side of her brain, it elevated the emotional portion because that was all that was left intact. It affected her so much with the emotions that you just described, including anger and sadness and petty. Like anybody who came in and they were sad, angry, mad, like those really sort of like high level emotions. She put a sign. Now, this could be another one of my t-shirts. She put a, because I'd need to wear it around. She put a sign on the door of her room that said, please take responsibility for the energy you bring into this space. And because that is the only way she could continue to heal. And her story is so profound that when Oprah launched her Super Soul Sunday series, and you know, if Oprah touches something, it's typically turns golden. And even today, even though she doesn't even have her show, that she has her own network, but she's not on like network TV anymore, her influence and power is still so strong. So she was having a conversation with Dr. Taylor as a interview, part of the interview process. And when Dr. Taylor said that to her about her experience in putting that sign, I watched this several years ago, actually, when it came out. And Oprah was like floored. You could see the aha, she calls it a she-ha. You could see the she-ha look on her face, maybe unlike any time I've ever seen, where she literally was like, had an epiphany. And it was altering the course of really a lot of things for her from that moment on. And this is just a really cute, happy ending to the story, is that Dr. Taylor afterwards sent her a sign, like a pre-made, uh-huh, like a sign that said, please, you are responsible for the energy you bring into the space. So it was
interesting.
Very, cool.
Very, very interesting. Now, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but as we are speaking, I'm looking up Dr. Jill Bolt Taylor, and the first couple of sentences is she's a Harvard trained and published neuroanatomist who experienced a severe hemorrhage in the left hemisphere of her brain. Is it just irony that she experienced this stroke at such a young age? She was already into neuroanatomy before this happened, correct?
Oh, absolutely. She was.
We're laughing because Tracy just said her code word, but she caught herself. Absolutely. We're keeping tally of all the shows we do.
I bring the word absolutely into the space.
It's a positive word.
It is. And that's why I love it so much. It's so affirming.
So going back to, is this just irony?
Well, I couldn't even think of a word for it, to be quite honest with you. I mean, the only thing that could come to my mind is a really chilling case of Murphy's Law. But I believe also that things, I mean, and I don't really want to say that everything bad that happens to somebody happens for a reason, because it's not a fair and sometimes a compassionate thing to say when someone's going through it. But I do believe that people are given gifts when they're meant to make changes or make the world better.
Uh-huh.
And that was a really pretty dramatic example of a gift, but as a result of the things that she has gone through in the documentary, that as they documented her healing and both medically and spiritually, if you will, and even also more interesting is that she was so analytical and lived in the left brain side of her brain. And she was also in that work addiction type frenetic, you know, going 100 million miles an hour mode, always living in that left brain as being analytical and being scientific. When this happened to her, because her left brain shut down, her right brain blossomed, and and in addition to the emotional intensity that she was able to, you know, basically take in, she became this amazing artist, and she does all this glass, stained glass tile work, and that is an entirely new dimension that evolved out of this experience
Very cool.
It is just so fascinating to me, but, you know, bringing that back into how that affects my world and your world, and what I think is just something that if you can be aware of it, what happens is you all of a sudden start realizing, okay, wait a second, like this person, that's their stuff and that's what's going on with them. And you don't actually take it in then as your stuff. And I can only speak for myself, but in my lifetime, and I've been better at this at times in my life and worse about it at times in my life, but I'm one of those people because I really like to make people happy. And I was the diplomat in comedy relief in my family. I'm sure that comes as no surprise.
Not at all.
However, what that, as an adult, what that I carried into my adult life is that if someone was sad, mad, angry, unhappy, my brain automatically went to, what did I do? Can I make it better? How can I fix this?
And that's
what's wrong with them.
That's where
what's wrong with me. Is what's wrong with them wrong with me?
I'm gonna throw a challenging question to you now, because you had this experience with this dinner, and she came in like a tornado, and she was in that sense responsible for the energy she brought into the room.
Yes.
Okay. Or at the table. Now, can you not adopt that responsibility sitting there at the table and alter the energy? So if she brings in an energy that might be on the negative side, why not take that responsibility to change the course of that energy?
Well, I think that can be done. And I think, you know, if I had to be like, fully,
if anybody could do like, it, it's you.
Right. But here's the thing, like that responsibility, and that's what is coming back to what Dr. Taylor said. And I can do it, and I'm really good at it.
I know you are.
Because I've honed the skill for a very long time, probably circa 1968, if you know what I'm saying. So, but that drains my energy.
Okay.
So that's why I think this topic is so important, because as I often say, awareness brings change, but action is for sustainable change. So it's highly likely that if she's listening to the show right now, she A, probably wouldn't have even been aware that that's how she entered the space, and B, probably was like thinking that it was almost like a martyr type situation, even if it was subliminal. And I'm only saying this because this used to be me.
Right.
And I got it. And so,
Do you think she's listening right now?
Well, you know, I don't know, but I'm not saying anything I wouldn't say if she was sitting here with us.
We love her though.
Yes. And we do. And so to come back to answering your question, I did approach it differently than I may normally have if I hadn't had this insight. And that is that I spoke like my energy, I lowered in a positive way and I interacted with her, and almost like, because she was sitting right across from me, and I almost like transitioned her into like from high level work stress, freneticness into like decompressing
into being able to
enjoy the social situation
right.
that she was in. Only because I would have wanted someone to do that for me in those 100 million situations that I probably blasted into. And so, yeah, so it's a catch-22, because I want to protect my own energetic boundaries, but at the same time, I just intuitively was like, you know what, like, let's just, like, I feel where you're, you know, I'm picking up what you're putting
right.
down. I feel you where you are right now. And so that was interesting.
See, and this is very valuable, because the advice you just gave is advice that one person can use, knowing that they are responsible for the energy they bring into the room, but also the ability to maybe try and, reset the stage that's been brought in. So you're giving some very valuable information.
And the insight on it is too, so if you're going to cross over into that awareness phase, is really about, so she is not like a close interpersonal friend of mine, which means like she's like a third degree separation, right? From not necessarily sixth degree, but like she's a friend of mine in the sense that she's friends with my friend that was
right. That was with
her birthday. So I don't know her well enough to be like, hey, like, you know, I realize you've had a really stressful day, but like,
but you know her well enough to talk about her on the radio as a topic.
Well, because I'm not using her name. And the other thing about that is that I think it's for me, it's more okay to have that one-on-one experience with her because I don't engage with her all the time. So I would be more apt to want to like kind of transition with her in that energetic situation. But when it comes to somebody who's really close to you or that you're frequently around, like let's
that's
use-
That's the challenge.
That's the challenge where you have to really protect yourself and not cross over into that caretaking, Melody Beatty, codependent no more. I mean, like you have, that's when you have to be responsible for the energy that you bring to the space. And that is taking care of you and not absorbing that and, you know, having it take you down. And I recently I've been spending time around someone who really is super close to me. Like I would say, like in that, like close to me as close as family could be without blood type.
Right.
And they're going through a difficult time. And what's happening with them, which is fascinating for me to watch, because they are a wonderful, compassionate, kind, positive, most often like, you know, upbeat, adventuresome person. That's their normal state. Like that's their when you meet them personally or professionally, or if they're he doesn't meet a stranger type.
All right,
of
so
person.
It hasn't been that way as of recent,
right? And so it's been so dramatically different that it's really been, you know, I've been curious and concerned, and so we finally had a conversation about it, and I was just like, so what's really going on? And because the energy he was bringing into the room, quite honestly, was kind of a downer.
Now, mind you, when you say into a room, it could be a room with just you in it.
Yes. And when I also say room, I want to redefine this. A great point. I mean, like it could be the room of the circle of where you're standing, because you could be outside and not necessarily be contained in four walls. But that circle of the exchange is, quote unquote, your room. So it's not just about like the visual of like busting in the,
it could
opening
be on a,
the door.
Yeah.
And like,
no, it could be a phone conversation.
You're absolutely right. So that comes back to what I was saying about that point about when it's somebody that's really close to you, I always like to speak from my perspective. Mm-hmm. I don't want to transpose, you know, my world on anyone else's. However, the thing about it is that, again, I have to be really careful because this person is super close to me and I want to default into like fixer mode. I want to be like, I almost want to just turn into the consultant mode, but you can't do that when it's a personal situation. It doesn't work as well.
She knows from experience.
Sometimes you just have to just be there and listen. But for the energetic exchange, it's also like they said out loud that they have a wonderful world, a wonderful life. They have a ton to be grateful for. And they really don't even understand why they're getting so caught up in this gloom and doom. And it's, for this particular person, it's all about futuristic what ifs. And so I, being the person that wants to kind of dig a little deeper and figure out, you know, how to help them stay in the present or how to express gratitude to minimize the gloom and doom around the what ifs.
Well, not only that, is also letting them understand the concept that you have all these what ifs and you're trying to analyze situations that might never, ever even come up.
Exactly. And so you're spending time in this moment in the present worrying about something that may or may not even happen. And most likely you could write the script out for how you think it's going to be. And it will turn out 180 degrees different than what you expect anyway. But what I started to notice about myself is I didn't go into fixer mode, but what happened was I started feeling gloomy. And I mean, hello, I don't feel gloomy most of the time. And so I really started to notice it about myself that when I was around this individual, that all of a sudden, like I was feeling gloomy. And then I got into the insecurity about the future. So it was contagious. Like
yes.
I literally caught it like a virus going through the, you know, preschool. I mean,
there's me saying absolutely now.
Yeah.
It's contagious. So,
it is. It really, really is.
All right. So you know what? I want to hear how this this ends up. I want to hear the solution, because I know you always come up with a solution. So when we come back, we will talk about that solution and Tracy's takeaways.
Is the only thing keeping you from launching your podcast not knowing how? Let our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters relieve the overwhelm of launching, managing, and growing your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. Contact us at produceyourpodcast.com for a free 15-minute consultation. Produceyourpodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to there.
Okay, so we're back, and before we get to Tracy's takeaways, we were hearing about the gentleman that brought some, I'd say, lower energy into your space, correct?
Yes, but not purposefully.
Oh, no, of course not.
but again, you know, like I said, it was like the value that brought to me was I gained insight that I was, you know, kind of lowering my energy level, even though it was subconscious, because that was, I mean, I don't really know a better way to say it, but it was kind of bringing me down. But then it was also because of the fears and insecurities that were the cause of how he was feeling were then I started having those fears and insecurities, and that's really just not my nature. I mean, I am very much a trust the process and be all about your efforts, and you can't control your outcomes.
Right.
But I was kind of getting stuck in that area, and so the takeaway for me on that.
Were you getting internally agitated that I've got almost like the story of the doctor where she just couldn't handle being, you know, were you getting agitated to where I've got to change something or I've got to get out of here?
Yes. I mean, the answer is yes. There's no really long answer to that. It was yes. And what I really started noticing is when I was around this person that was happening, but what was even scarier for me personally was it was happening outside. Like I caught it, like you catch a cold.
Yeah.
And you go home and go to bed, you still have your cold.
Contagious.
It was like that type of situation. So yes, the answer is yes. But in terms of takeaways, I think that was one of the, in thinking about the show and the content for the show, that I think that was one of the things that came to the forefront of the takeaways is having awareness around the fact that energy is contagious. And I mean that in a twofold way. So energy is contagious in terms of, for example, I've been told, and you were so wonderful the way you opened the show, that my energy is contagious. I mean, it's just who I am. It's how I was born.
Oh, I love
it. It's the way I am. And it's very contagious. So having awareness around the fact that your energy is contagious. So if you're having a bad day, I'm not saying to be false or not appear real, but just have awareness around the fact that all the negativity, like, my job is this, blah, you know, like Igor, like, blah, 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 you know, that is contagious to other people. The other thing is that being on the flip side, being aware that if you're around Eeyore, like that's his name, character just like always like boom, 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 sound,
from the Flintstones, Schleprock.
Yeah, like just anyone that just basically
wowsy,
is like, I'm
wowsy,
sad.
Wow.
My life sucks, right? Wah, wah. So when you're around that, protect your own energy because that can be contagious. So it's a twofold dynamic. One of the other things that you mentioned at the beginning of the show that I think is super important from the business side of Journey to There is, and I, every single time I start working with a client who is in the beginning phases of starting a business, one of the very first things that I will say to them in our very first session is, please be aware that the people that are closest to you, your spouse, your sister, your parents, your best friend, may not be the people that are going to be the most supportive of this new venture because they might be scared for you. They might be jealous that they've always wanted
exactly.
to do it and they've never done it. They may think you're an insane person for leaving a high-powered executive job to pursue a nonprofit.
Right.
I mean, there are all these kind of that type of
everybody's got their opinions.
It does, and they're bringing forth into the conversation their own judgments about themselves and their own past experiences. It really has nothing to do with the person and the business concept and what they want to do for themselves, but it can cause you to undermine and second-guess yourself so quickly. So I put that as a heads-up going into the situation.
Yeah, people hear it all the time. You know, I'm leaving my job. I mean, like I said, I used to be a teacher, an instructor of radio broadcasting. I can't tell you how many retired doctors or you know, real estate moguls, whatever. And it's like, you know, their friends and family told them, it's like, what are you doing? You're crazy. You're not going to make any money. You're going to be on the radio. What? So yeah, stay focused on your dream, on your goal.
And the whole thing about that too is that that's not limited to just business, because you can also think about it like if you're about to make a really big life change, uh-huh. like let's say you want to adopt a child. Let's say you feel like you need to make a life change and maybe go into recovery for something that's not working well in your life, or that you are just, you know, like you're going on this massive weight loss
right.
thing that's making you more healthy. Not everybody thinks those are good things.
No, and they, like you said, may be jealous.
Exactly.
All right. Before we wrap this up, I had a little epiphany because you were talking about contagious and how the energy you bring into a space or into a room. Now, we have a space, we have a room, and it's the Journey to Their radio show. And I'm thinking about it. Now we're on Empower Radio, hitting 89 countries. The show is exploding, and I'm very proud to be a part of it. But did you ever think that the energy that you bring into the room is the type of energy that people want to be around, and that's why they're listening to the show on a regular basis? You don't have to answer that question. I'm making an observation. I'm putting you up on a pedestal a little bit, but
Thank you. Think about it.
Nobody's going to listen to the show if you're going to be that, you know, Debbie Downer. No offense
right.
to anybody
no,
named Debbie.
No.
But no, I think the show is the success that it is because you bring some awesome energy into the space. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. She's blushing.
And I'm speechless, and that doesn't ever happen.
We'll be hanging out with you again on the next exciting episode where we meet at the intersection between personal and business growth. This is the Journey to Their radio show.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.